Hello, Truth Seekers. Mike Malice. All right, let's start again. Hello, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on the Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this evening. Stick around. Stick around if you dare. We have just sent to Ben Birch the latest video from Malloy's Uncensored Mailbag. It should be up late this evening or tomorrow. This one is a real doozy. So check it out when you get a chance. If you're a subscriber, if you're not a subscriber, you know you can become one. The information is at novamradio.com. Did you listen to Blagojevich's plea today for the Illinois Senate not to convict him? I did, and I swear to God, I'm missing something. I don't know why they impeached him. And convicted him. I really don't. You know, call me goofy and naive, but I listened to his plea for mercy, which is pretty much what it amounted to, and then tuned in later on in the day when after the Illinois Senate had voted unanimously to throw him to the wolves. But I'm just not sure what he did, other than just being a typical political jackass, you know, braggart, big mouth, who uses the F word pretty much as frequently as Limbaugh does, or any, you know, real manly man or womanly woman uses it, I guess. I don't know. He's not. This is like I don't know. It's like Guantanamo. He's not been indicted for anything yet. He hasn't been charged with anything yet. The reason he was arrested, if I'm understanding this right, is that the federal prosecutor was worried that he would appoint someone or sell the seat. You know, it's like, what was that movie with Tom Cruise about pre-crime? Stopping crime by having the psychics float in the pool and come up with the visions of who and where, who was going to commit a crime and where it was going to be committed. The title of that movie is somewhat like one of the programs we had on Air America. What the hell was that, Kathy? Minority Report. That's right. That's the only way I can remember it. Minority Report. So Blagojevich apparently was, you know, mouthing off on the phone. Fitzgerald decided, well, he's going to do something, so let's arrest him. So, you know, without an indictment, without they arrested him, which I guess you can do. I don't know, suspicion of something. I guess I don't know anymore. I don't know how the laws in this country work anymore. Even those kinds of, that was a federal law, because the Bush crime family and these filthy Republicans have screwed everything up. I mean, somebody tell me, what is the law anymore? So Blagojevich gets popped for making phone calls or talking on the phone about F this and F that, and he's going to do this, and Barack Obama's seat is worth money, and he wants money, and he's going to get money. And he talks to the Chicago Tribune and says, hey, change your stance, or I'm not going to help you get your Wrigley building sold or whatever the hell it was. And then somebody else said he took a campaign contribution in exchange for doing something. Oh, Jesus, that's unique in American political history, isn't it? So they bust him. He gets out on bail, and Fitzgerald still hasn't indicted him. When was he popped? 7 weeks ago? Jesus God. What? I mean, seriously, I told Kathy today, this is very awkward being in the position of defending a guy like Blagojevich, because he is irritating, I guess. I don't know. I mean, the people of Illinois elected him and then reelected him. Not like Bush, not a stolen election. They honestly got elected him. And as he pointed out, and I don't know if any of this is true, but as he pointed out in his speech today, or his plea to the Senate today, Illinois Senate, so many of the things that they were impeaching him for were things that occurred before he got reelected 2 years ago or something. It's like, what in the hell is going on? I'm not too shocked. Look, He may turn out to be the most guilty son of a bitch in the state of Illinois, which is really saying something. No governor of Illinois, though, has ever been impeached and removed from office. He may be awful. He may have kidnapped children chained to the wall in his basement. I don't know. But I'm just trying to understand this. And I mean that. I'm not being coy like some of these right wingers. I'm just trying to understand it. I really am. I'm trying to understand what exactly was it that got him convicted by the Illinois Senate, removed from office. And I listened to the response today by the prosecutor in the Illinois Senate, not a prosecutor, but the person carrying the case, I guess, from the House to the Senate, just like Henry Hyde did with Bill Clinton. And, I listened to that and I hear about all these things he's been, the offenses that they impeached him for, and now he should stand convicted of. And I'm trying to think, where's the case? Where are the crimes? Seriously, where are the crimes? And I haven't heard any response from any of the wise pundits on the news today, on cable or broadcast, about what really, why he was convicted. I just don't get it. I don't get it. This is justice, I guess, in the age of Bush and Cheney. Two people who disrespected U.S. law to a degree unheard of since these jackasses here in the South decided to break away and form their own country. But it's incredible. Maybe somebody could send me an email and tell me what did he do that warranted impeachment and conviction? I don't know. Mark writes, Mike, isn't this amazing what kind of country we live in? In the state of Illinois, the senators there unanimously remove Rod Blagojevich from office. Yet the people in Washington, D.C. can't put, quote, politics, end quote, aside to convict and remove George W. Bush and his cronies, who committed far more serious crimes and killed more people worldwide than Rod did or ever will. Barack Obama has to bring charges against George W. Bush and his administration and fix the wrong that has been done. If he doesn't, he will set a very dangerous precedent for a future dictator who could be even worse than Chucklenuts. Although I confess, I don't know how anybody could be worse than him. Mark, well, see, that's there's that aspect of the Blagojevich destruction, too. The putting it in a juxtaposition with what the Bush crime family and the Republican Party in general, a party that should be murdered as soon as possible, the crimes that they've committed. And here's Blagojevich, who is a big mouth, just kind of a chump, braggadocio type, I don't know. And then I got this. This is a letter Alan sent to Senator Cantwell Murray, Senators Cantwell Murray and Representative Adam Smith about this issue. Dear Representative Smith, in the ongoing impeachment of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich and present poster child for Illinois corruption history, appearing before state senators in impeachment trial, amidst a month-old accusation that he attempted to sell or trade the Senate seat that became occupied after Barack Obama got elected to president, I find myself angered and dismayed by the ongoing hypocrisy on Capitol Hill as to the inaction of considering equal action against the 43rd illegal administration of the U.S., here known as George W. Bush, for crimes against humanity and war crimes that make Blagojevich accusations pale in comparison. The progress with which the Illinois legislature converted its anger and annoyance into impeachment hearings against Blagojevich is very difficult to understand in light of clear and unprecedented amounts of proof, witnesses, and the very words of George Bush himself. I would like to ask you, where is the justice for those whom Bush murdered? Investigate, impeach, imprison. It's Alan from Olympia. So I don't know. I don't have a clue here. as to what is justice anymore. Do you? I really don't. If a president of the United States, George W. Bush, can commit the crimes he committed with impunity, nobody to stop him. If a huge, bloated, drug-addled person like Rush Limbaugh, who sends his hired help out to score drugs, can influence representatives in the House and write op-eds for the Wall Street Journal, what in the hell is going on here? It's amazing.
Moving on with the Sudanese and he's cooling down. Moving on from town to town. Well, he's standing in line at the welfare window, but the tape wrapped around the building, keeping him from moving on. Moving on from town to town.
And now, a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Okay, what do we got here? Here's an interesting email from Jen, who writes, Mike, I wanted to let you know what these fundy right-wing scum are doing again. I wanted to let you know and your listeners know, but I have to be very careful what I say because I don't want to put my friend's job in jeopardy. Let's just say she has been forced to take a job at a call center that is very right-leaning. Most of the time, her job is not dealing with the Republicans or fundamentalist stuff, but every once in a while, she gets something she has to read for that type of stuff. Anyway, have you ever heard of this scum, Jay Sekulow? Oh, sure. Well, he is the ass that fights against the ACLU with his famous ACLJ. Long story short, these people are twisting President Obama's words and slamming the Fairness Doctrine deal. What they are saying, and Jen says I'm paraphrasing here, they're saying on their calls that Obama is telling you you can't listen to Rush Limbaugh, and if we don't act now, Christian radio will be next. My friend said that this isn't the first time that these people have started slamming Obama. Around Christmas time, they were scamming money to fight the Freedom of Choice Act. And the underlying attitude is that Obama will bring the end of the world if we don't stop him now. So you have two types of people, those who are throwing money to stop Obama and those who can't wait for Obama to usher in the end of the world because, as one fundy ranted to my friend, quote, he really is European because his father was born in Europe and the Hawaiian birth certificate is fake and he'll have the rapture started within 6 months, end quote. I do hope the sheep wake up soon and tell Limbo's diddleheads and the fundies to stick it up there. You know, Jen, there are some powerful opposing forces banging this country around right now. You know, for the longest time with the Bush crime family, there was just one force, right wing, that was just pummeling the country, just beating us all bloody, destroying our Constitution, making international pariahs of us, committing mass murder, slaughter around the globe. One force, the Bush-Cheney crime family. But now there are two forces. There is the same force, only it's no longer Bush-Cheney. It's fundamentalist Christians, Limbaugh, Hannity, mainstream media, you know, right-wingers, sick people, really sick people on the one side. On the other are people who genuinely care about the country. They're not liberals. They're not leftists. God knows they're not progressive. But they are people who believe in fairness, who believe in justice, who believe in the rule of law. And they're represented by President Obama and his posse and the people who put him in office. Now, the split is about, what, 65 million that makes sense and 55 million who are sick and useless. But that 54, 55 million, that's a pretty powerful force. And whereas a lot of people, myself included, thought, I guess, momentarily, a momentary lapse of reason, that with the election of Obama, as resounding as it was, you know, by the biggest margin since what? Since Reagan? That with that election, the crazy people in our society, all those people who follow behind Jabba the Hutt, you know, trying to inhale his body odors and his discharges because, after all, he's Jabba the Hutt, he's Rush Limbaugh, that those people would tend to, I don't know, just be quiet? And that the ascendant idea of logic, return to rule of law, science, common sense, would somehow prevail. And but man, it's not happening, is it? It's just not happening. So I'm not sure. I'm having a hard time getting my bearings right now. How about you? Are you like still kind of topsy turvy, thinking, okay, what the hell? What, you know, what's going on? It's going to be a rough period of time. There's so many websites and right wingers and Rush lovers who are pushing the idea of destroying Obama by any means necessary. They are, and of course you have the sickos who are listening who will take that literally. So I don't know. These are unsettled times. I'm trying to get my bearings. How about you? We'll take some calls. 800-989-1480. Stay with us.
The upper class.
Well, not everybody.
Yes, sir. I'll get the door. Roll the carpet on the floor. For a man.
For a man.
For a man.
Such a man.
For a man. With his hand up his.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ditto. Ditto.
Ask us the name of the king. It's Rush.
The greatest man in America.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, Bill writes, Mike, reality in these United States has been hit by a hit-and-run invisible Mack truck based in Manhattan and Washington, D.C., and is reeling and staggering in the crosswalk, trying to come to its senses and barely keeping its balance. Oh, well, just a stab at a freaking metaphor. Okay, not bad. what about this? This is kind of bizarre. The chief judge of the Guantanamo War Court, he's an army colonel named James Pohl. And today he turned aside a request from President Obama to freeze the military commissions there and said he, the colonel, would go forward with next month's hearing for an alleged USS Cole bomber in a terror case. Now, Carol Rosenberg, writing for the Miami Herald, then says the decision was immediately denounced by the head of the ACLU, which said this ruling by this Army colonel smacked of Bush administration holdovers at the Pentagon trying to prevent Barack Obama from fulfilling his promise to close Guantanamo. I don't know the case. I mean, of course I know what happened to USS Cole, but isn't this treason? If the president of the United States, well, maybe it's not yet, because I guess maybe Barack Obama hasn't ordered this colonel to stand down and shut his goddamn mouth and take orders. Maybe he hasn't told him that yet. According to the Miami Herald, Pohl's decision to ignore this stunned officials at the Department of Defense and the White House. Navy Commander Jeffrey Gordon said, quote, the Department of Defense is currently reviewing Judge Pohl's ruling. We will be in compliance with the president's orders regarding Guantanamo, end quote. White House aides noted that the order only applied to a single case and all other pending cases had been stopped. There is no comment, or there is no comment yet, on what other steps Obama might take or whether he had the power as commander-in-chief to overrule the military judge. Excuse me? Does commander-in-chief have an asterisk after it that says, except when the military person involved is conducting monkey-ass fake trials for people that can't defend themselves? What the hell is going on here? The defendant's attorney, Pentagon-appointed defense lawyer, who is Lieutenant Navy Commander Stephen Reyes, said the prosecutor, not the judge, the prosecutor could still dismiss the charges against his client in order to comply with the president's request for a freeze. The charges could later be reinstated. Commander Reyes, the defense attorney, said, quote, the only way they can give effect to the president's order is by dismissing the charges, end quote. Well, I don't know. It's like a house of mirrors, isn't it? I mean, if the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, orders something, and some right-wing half-ass colonel who finds himself serving as a judge at kangaroo court war crimes trials in Guantanamo says, I don't think so, Mr. P. Is that treason? I don't know. Colonel Pohl said he would not accede to the request. He said, quote, the public interest in a speedy trial will be harmed by the delay in the arraignment, end quote. This guy is charged in the USS Cole attack, which occurred in October 2000. Speedy trial? Colonel, this is 2009. And the guy you want to try has spent 8 years being tortured or something. Speedy trial. And the court is seeking, the military court is seeking execution for the defendant. The colonel said that nothing would take place at the arraignment that would prevent Obama from taking other steps to stop the trial, and that under the 2006 Military Commissions Act, it was up to a judge to grant any delay. You remember the 2006 Military Commissions Act, that piece of blatant overthrow of civilian rule of the United States government. You remember that. You also remember how many Democrats in the Senate voted for it, right? So here it is, the 2006 Military Commissions Act, which gives a goddamn colonel in the Army more power than the President of the United States. How about that? In the meantime, they're convicting Blagojevich of having phone calls. Well, I wonder what's going to happen to this. This obviously is one of them has to stand down, either the colonel or the president of the United States. One of them has to. There's no compromise here. One of them has to, because the colonel now has made his position clear. He is going to go ahead with arraignment and trial of somebody that's been held going on to 9 years on the basis that this colonel wants to see a speedy trial. Okay. The President of the United States, as commander-in-chief, as the boss of this colonel, is saying, no, I want everything stopped for 120 days. We can revisit this later, but I want it stopped now. And the colonel is giving the middle finger to the president. So, what do you think's going to happen, huh? What do you think is going to happen? Has this gotten any attention other than the Miami Herald, this story? This is the first I've heard about it. person who sent this to me writes, the military needs to purge itself of the all too many right-wing, anti-constitutional rat bastards who openly refuse to obey and accept orders from the commander-in-chief. What was this rat bastard doing while the accused was being tortured in Gitmo year after year after year? And now, years later, he talks of giving the accused a speedy trial? Is this colonel a treasonous fascist, a clear and present threat to both the U.S. Armed Forces and the U.S. people? My answer is yes, 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 and yes. Wow. A colonel. This is not even flag rank. This is a colonel, like Colonel Jessup. You can't handle the truth! Right? This guy must think he's Colonel Jessup. You know, from A Few Good Men. In the meantime, the army, the same army, assumed to which Colonel Pohl belongs, is ready to report a record number of suicides within its ranks. The number of suicides in veterans from Afghanistan and Iraq is, according to CNN, the highest number of suicides for 1 year since they began keeping track of this stuff in 1980. Oh, and by the way, in 2007, that was previously the highest number, 115. The Army is to report 128 plus 15 suspected suicides in 2008, 143. So according to CNN, the Army will report, or did report today, got no attention that I'm aware of, the highest level of suicides among its soldiers since it began tracking the rate 28 years ago. The Army is expected to announce a new effort to study soldier suicides and links to post-combat stress, PTSD. That a lot of these right-wing blubberheads like Limbaugh says doesn't exist.
Oh, they want a purple heart for that. God damn it, you ought to get a purple heart for doing too many Oxycontins like me. Hell, I'm famous. I couldn't go score my own drugs. I had to send my dishwasher out to get them.
The confirmed rate of suicides was 20 per 100,000 soldiers. Wow. Many of the suicides, it says here, occur after troops return home. The Army has long cited personal stress, including financial, relationship, and substance abuse programs, as a major reason for suicides. Substance abuse. Jesus Christ, why couldn't Russia have killed himself? That would have been beautiful, wouldn't it? The Army is also studying the extent to which deployment to a war zone may play a role in suicide. They, no one's ever studied that before. They send a young kid, for the most part, to a country after jacking the kid up with lies and tell him to go kill people and then wonder why he breaks down.
Border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
10 before the hour, our military affairs correspondent, Sharon Gordy, sent me this information. And it's also up at tvnewslies.org, if you want to check it there. As Sharon wrote, we know what is causing the PTSD. It's long, repeated tours of combat without enough dwell time away from the battlefield. Usually, if we know the cause of an illness, we stop doing it. Someone at the Pentagon needs to say, I'm sorry, we can't keep sending these people back to hell. It's got to stop. The people in our military sharing rights are being abused. Yeah, worse than that. Suicide for Marines, by the way, were also up in 2004. Marines had 41 suicides in 2008, up from 33 in 2007, 25 in 2006. Notice the trend line there. The numbers did not surprise Kevin Lucy, whose 23-year-old son Jeffrey Lucy, a former Marine, hanged himself 11 months after returning from Iraq. The night before he did hang himself, the elder Lucy said, Jeffrey asked if he could sit on my lap and if we could rock. It was about 11:30 at night, and I rocked him for about 45 minutes. Now, here you have a 23-year-old, 150-pound Marine that I'm just rocking. And his therapist said it was his last gasp. It was his last place for refuge. And then the next time I held him in my lap was when I was taking him down from the rafters. He had put the hose around his neck, double looped, and he was dead. The elder Lucy said his son had not been able to get the treatment he needed from the Veterans Administration. He told CNN in a telephone interview, quote, what is disappointing is that the intervention doesn't appear to be there at the present time, end quote. The government settled with the family for $350,000. Mr. Lucy said the foolish part of all this is we just wanted someone to say they did wrong, but no one would. He had applied for help, and a year after he hanged himself, the father said, they accepted him. Jesus, God. This is George W. Bush's legacy. This is the legacy of Republicans. The Republican Party needs to be executed as quickly as possible. It's also the legacy of all those Senate Democrats who voted to give a sociopath the power to commit troops anywhere, as they did with George W. Bush. They knew he was crazy. They knew he was a liar. If they didn't, shame on them. They knew the family history. They knew that George W. Bush's grandfather aided the Nazis in exterminating Jews in World War II. They knew this. If they didn't, the members of the Senate who are Democrats, if they didn't know this, shame on them. So, Diane from Pittsburgh writes, Mike, be sure to read on Huffington Post this evening a piece by Bob Seska entitled Obama versus the Republicans. Chill out. He's got this. Oh, okay. When the break comes up, Diane, I will do that. I will do that. Do we have any phone calls? Anybody calling in? Do we have anybody on the line? Oh, yes, we do. All right, let's go to our Aurora, Illinois Bureau Chief, Marianne, Dr. Marianne, who wants to tell us about Blago. What's the deal?
Oh, Maggie. You know, we could have avoided so much of this drama if the Democrats in Springfield had impeached him last summer when they had more than enough reason and ammunition to do that. How fast did that take? It was like 3 days this week, four?
Pretty quick.
Yeah, a couple of days last week. No, but
what, they had information other than this these charges?
Oh, yeah. I actually, there was all kinds of charges surrounding the famous Resco for corruption. I think they have a sealed indictment against his wife because she had real estate dealings that...
Blago's wife?
Yeah, Blagojevich's wife.
Right.
You know, so this whole drama could have been avoided, you know, and the first days of Obama's administration had this off of the front page news last summer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the Democrats in Illinois, of course, like a lot of the Democratic leadership, has another agenda. I think you're aware that we've got a dynasty family, the Madigans.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Madigan is Speaker of the House. His
right.
daughter, Lisa, is the attorney general
right.
who is made it clear that she wants to run for governor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in their interest to keep Mr. Blagojevich in office as long as possible.
Really?
Yeah, because the one of the really good long-term Democrats in the statewide, one of the few, is our now, as of 3 hours ago, Governor Pat Quinn.
Right.
Amazing that he got through the system. And believe me, I had Democrats tell me 2 years ago when Blagojevich was running, they were aware of all this nonsense. This is no surprise, by the way, mm-hmm. to Democrats in the state. But I always heard from the state leaders and party officials that, well, he's a good fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And, you know, and the state, the leadership has made it, you know, made your ability to raise money sort of the first and foremost qualification for being a candidate anywhere.
Gotcha.
You know, and sure. I've had personal experience with that. We were running a campaign. Mr. Lash ran, the one who ran against
right.
Denny Hastert. Well,
right.
he did so well. Built up the party, and then when he ran, the Democratic leadership after Denny resigned decided that seat was in play, and mm-hmm. we can't have a progressive there. And we were outspent 12-1.
I know. I think either you or somebody on the campaign wrote and told me that. Hey, Marianne, we got a break. Thanks. Thanks for the info about Rod.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right.
All right. Behave yourself. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Welcome back. It is almost 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on Nova M. That's a good story. Thanks, Diane from Pittsburgh. Bob Seska, or Cheska, writing at Huffington Post. Obama versus Republicans. Chill out. He's got this. There's a great graphic that goes with it. There's a link to the graphic. It's really good. Check it out. Back to your phone calls for a minute here, all right? Steve is calling from Front Royal, Virginia, listening on Sirius. Hey, Steve.
Hey, great to talk to you, Mike. I've called you from time to time. I live in Front Royal, Virginia.
Yeah.
I thought that story about that Marine was really rough.
It
and
is.
And I didn't agree with either one of these wars. Well, I mean, you know, this Afghanistan war, they got their reasons, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem right to me, but what I wanted to talk about was I heard you talking about Rush Limbaugh, and I saw on the news where Barack had said something about Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, all he said was it was a throwaway line, and except for the fact that our media whores grabbed it, because the media whores love to see you and him fight. You see,
well, I don't want to fight with
no, people. No. I don't mean you. I don't mean you. I mean
okay.
The media whores would like to see that one and that one. Fight.
Well, I guess.
And now wait, let me finish.
Okay,
and they stir this garbage up. Here's what Obama said was, Republicans need to stop listening to just Limbaugh where it concerned his economic recovery plan. That's all he said.
Yeah, I agree with everything he's saying. But here's what's up, Mike. Then I heard that he apologized to Limbaugh. I mean, I would have advised him not to.
No, he didn't apologize.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. Obama?
Yes.
No, absolutely.
Yes,
Send it to me. Send it to me.
Okay, Mike. I'm just telling you that he did, and I know it for a fact. Now
I'm not going to dispute you. I'm
okay.
Just saying, send me a link.
Well,
because
Mike, anyway,
no, wait. Because
okay.
If Obama did apologize,
right,
then there is, it's all over the news, and I watch the news and record the news 24/7, and I've heard nothing. So if you have a better source, and Jesus Christ, don't send me something from Free Republic or from Drudge or from any of these right wingers. If Barack Obama, what did he say?
Okay, I'm a left wing guy. I'm not going to send you anything
like
that.
Okay, but what did he say?
Okay. All I'm saying is I would have just said, please don't say, I would have advised him not to say anything, and if he did, not to apologize. And that's all I'm trying to get out to say here is that I would have advised him just to don't even say anything.
He should never have mentioned this pig's name. But he did in a throwaway manner. All I'm saying, Steve,
right,
is if Barack Obama, what did he apologize for? He didn't say anything to Limbaugh.
Rush Limbaugh, Mike. I mean, I couldn't believe it when I heard all this. But it's true. He contacted
Rush
Limbaugh, and he apologized and said something like, "Look, I'm one of you guys. I'm you and Hannity. We're all in this together," type of deal. That's what he said, Mike. Now look,
no.
I'm not trying to spread any propaganda, but this is the truth. And
No, absolutely not, Steve. I honest to God, no offense to you, but Steve, you've got it wrong. Barack Obama has not apologized to Limbaugh. He didn't say anything to Limbaugh. It was a throwaway line to Republicans. Now, if you will send me, if anybody will send me a link that clearly shows that Barack Obama apologized to Jabba the Hutt, I will just fall over all over myself, Steve, apologizing to you. But in the meantime, I will tell you, you've got it totally wrong, totally wrong. Now there may be. Excuse me. There may be some crazed right-wing website out there, like Fox News, that makes a claim. Now, even as we talk here, you know, Kathy is doing a LexisNexis search on this, and there's nothing. Steve, take a deep breath. You got it wrong, okay? I don't know who told you this. I don't know what their motive was, but please don't walk around with the thought in your head that Barack Obama apologized to the pig man. It did not happen. Okay? Okay.
But I think we all would have been a lot happier had Obama said, you people need to stop listening to right-wing pundits rather than elevating Limbaugh to some sort of vaunted status that...
Yeah, Steve, what you may be confusing is we have a Congress critter here from Georgia, a real half-ass representative from one of the rural districts of Georgia. What's his name? No, what was the guy? A couple days ago, he made the statement, Steve, that said Limbaugh ought to be quiet because he didn't represent the Republican Party. And then this guy fell all over himself to apologize. He went on Limbaugh's program and apologized. Now, if you're confusing the president of the United States with some half-assed member of Congress from Hicksville, Georgia, which I think is what you're doing, you need to get it out of your head. You need to get it out of your head, okay? It simply did not happen, all right? The member of Congress from here in Georgia called Limbaugh on the air and pretty much offered to do for Limbaugh what Monica did for Bill Clinton in order to get Limbaugh's forgiveness. All right? Okay? Okay, Steve? I'm not trying to pick a fight with you at all. Oh, his name was Gingrey. That's right. Phil Gingrey. He's the member of Congress who did that. But not Obama. Obama would not lower himself to say anything to the pig man. All right? Okay, Steve. I just don't, you know, like you said, you're a left-leaning guy. Okay, great. You have to be careful not to walk around with that garbage in your head. And it does get confusing. Christ, I get confused. You know, like I said tonight, I had no idea why they convicted Blagojevich. It's very easy. Sensory overload. You hear stuff coming from 95 different directions. I understand, man. but you're confusing the president with Phil Gingrich. Chump ass, low rent, non-essential member of the Georgia delegation to the U.S. House. Okay? Enough said. Prairie 2 writes in about interesting times in Davos, Switzerland. You know, the annual meeting of the people who like to jerk 8 billion people around on the planet is occurring right now. Prairie 2 writes, hey, Mike, it was reported that Obama would snub heads of state and our corporate overlords at World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, after canceling the scheduled appearance of senior advisors and cabinet officers and not even dispatching a low-level official to attend. 40 heads of state were there, including the Premier of China, the Chancellor of Germany, and Vladimir Putin. But Bill Clinton and Al Gore showed up, and Clinton held a 90-minute private meeting with Putin as Secret Service and Russian security agents kept the curious well away. Both men were flanked by aides and a translator. No word of what the meeting was about, and Clinton met with other leaders but details are hard to find. Most of the bankers who had the temerity to show up blamed everybody but themselves, consumers being a popular target, and weren't at all sorry for bringing the world economy near to a complete collapse. Pretty much everybody else blamed the bankers or the U.S. government for not regulating them. Some, like Steve Forbes, suggested that those involved will be willing to say they are sorry when they are before a criminal court. The head of one of the largest private equity companies, Blackstone Group, called for less government control and a reduction of the capital reserve requirements for banks so they could loan more money. This genius lost $350 million in the third quarter alone, and his suggestions were greeted with derisive laughter from prominent economists in attendance. The International Monetary Fund has revised upward the estimated losses of banks sustained so far to $2.2 trillion. Yeah, let's cut the reserve requirements. What reserves? Meanwhile, the Chinese premier, Wen Jiabao, was making his displeasure with Obama's new Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, known to any and all, reportedly breaking into a tirade at the mere mention of his name over Geithner's remarks that China is manipulating its currency. With a $40 billion a month trade surplus and almost $2 trillion on hand, China expects to be treated better by the upstart Americans. Yes, we live in interesting times, end quote. From Prairie 2. Yeah, I read something that Putin and the Chinese premier, Wen Jiabao, both blamed the entire thing on U.S. Economic policies. They're not far wrong, although both of these countries practice the kind of predatory capitalism that at least the Russians, so far as I know, don't concoct poison and put it into products and sell it the way the Chinese do. You know, if the Chinese are making milk and it needs to be whiter, they put in white poison and say, here's your milk.
Ready for a liberal helping of truth? It's more of Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Excuse me. Our military affairs correspondent also sent this in tonight about Wall Street Journal online, John Yoo, the torture bastard who worked for Bush. If anybody should be really put on trial for war crimes, it would be this son of a bitch. But no, he is a law professor at the University of California, Berkeley. Oh, Jesus God. I used to think UC Berkeley was just a wonderful hotbed of intellectual back and forth, but the fact that they employ him, I don't care what the rationale is, University of Chicago at or University of California at Berkeley has become a cesspool. Anyway, John Yoo writes the following. During his first week as Commander-in-Chief, President Barack Obama ordered the closure of Guantanamo and terminated the CIA's special authority to interrogate terrorists. While these actions will certainly please his base, they will also seriously handicap our intelligence agencies from preventing future terrorist attacks. Listen to this. Listen to this. In issuing these executive orders, Mr. Obama is returning America to the failed law enforcement approach to fighting terrorism that prevailed before September 11, 2001. What? The failed law enforcement approach to fighting terrorism. I hate this pig. Does he not understand that the people who attacked and set off a bomb in the Trade Towers the first time are, as a result of Bill Clinton's law enforcement, in prison without parole for the rest of their lives? Does he not know that? Does he not understand that the terrorists who blew up the U.S. embassies in Africa are in prison as a result of Bill Clinton's police work? They're in prison for the rest of their lives. Does this dumb son of a bitch, John Yoo, who fancies himself a law professor, does he not know? No, he does know that. He just assumes you and I don't. Yoo goes on to say he, Obama, is also drying up the most valuable source of intelligence on Al-Qaeda, which, according to CIA Director Michael Hayden, has come largely out of the tough interrogation of high-level operatives during the early years of the war. What? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, who was tortured and confessed to everything except the Lindbergh baby kidnapping? Is that what you're talking about, you freak? Abu Zubaydah, he's the one who's schizophrenic. They were torturing a guy who was mentally ill. Abu Zubaydah was a chauffeur. This is a sick bastard. Why don't the Regents, University of California system, fire this guy? He's insane. Do you want someone like this being representing himself as a law professor at the University of California? What is wrong with you people in California? John Yoo? Yoo says in this Wall Street Journal screed, Obama has also ordered that all military commission trials be stayed, and that the case of Ali Salah Al-Mari, the only Al-Qaeda operative now held on U.S. soil, be reviewed. This is what I'm telling you about, where Colonel Pohl has said, no, I'm not going to do it. So John Yoo is obviously encouraging treason. Yoo and Colonel Pohl, is that his name, should both be arrested immediately. Send the MPs, arrest these sons of bitches. Put them in the brig, like they did to Jose Padilla. Put them in the brig. Deny them representation.
Oh, but Mike, they're citizens.
So is Padilla. Put them in the brig. Deny them everything. Lock these two up now, immediately. No, that's not how we do it in a democratic society. Really? Why is he not talking about the female judge in the Bush administration that ruled Al-Mari cannot be tried? I think it's Ali Salah Al-Mari cannot be tried because he was tortured. Is that the same one or is it different one? It doesn't matter. Why doesn't John Yoo, this crazy person, talk about the Bush judge who said that? Oh, that's right. I already answered the question. Because he's crazy.
When the lies get so big, and the fog gets so thick, and the facts disappear, the Republican trick can be played out again.
border to border and coast to coast, The Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's about 25 before the hour. There's more. All of a sudden, there's a lot of stuff floating around at rawstory.com. There is a video, all kinds of stuff about John Yoo, because the president of the United States, the elected president of the United States this time, has ordered an end to torture, as has the legally appointed or attorney general. Since Bush was not elected, every single appointee of his was not in compliance with the law. Everything they did was not in compliance with the law. Everything. Every single thing. That's why they felt so cavalier about destroying everything. They knew they were bandits and outlaws and liars and poseurs, and they had no business being there. They knew that. Everybody with a brain in America knew that. The right-wingers, the ditto heads, of course not. But they need someone to, you know, do the thinking for them. Back to your phone calls. France Francis is calling from Gleason, Wisconsin, listening on the internet. Is that right, Francis?
Yes, it is.
All right, welcome to the program.
I'm a long-time listener, and I talked to you quite a while ago, but I just came up with an idea that I thought would be a pretty good one, but I don't think the people involved would really go along with it. And well, my idea is that all the congressmen, senators, and all the higher government officials that make substantial salaries would voluntarily step forward and say, we'd like to give one-third of our salary back to help the cause because everybody else is losing their jobs.
Yeah, it would be very symbolic because that money wouldn't amount to a thimbleful.
Just the gesture. You know?
Yeah, the symbolism might be. Obama has done something similar to that in that he announced the other day that the upward pressure on salaries within his administration are all frozen. No raises for as long as he's president.
Yeah. Well, I heard you talk before about Rush Limbaugh, the pig man.
Yeah.
And my God, I can't believe the people that listen to him and that they actually believe the crap that he tells them.
It is astonishing, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it does happen. It does happen, and it happens with alarming frequency. It's amazing how stupid Francis, so many people in the United States has become, and I mean stupid. Stupid is terminal. Ignorance is curable. Thanks, Francis. There's a PBS special called The Spy Factory that'll be shown over most PBS stations, probably none here in the South, on February 3rd at 8 p.m. And it's called The Spy Factory. And PBS makes the very definitive claim that the National Security Agency, the NSA, could have prevented the 9/11 horror. And at Raw Story, Muriel Kane writing there says the super secretive NSA has been quietly monitoring, decrypting, and interpreting foreign communications for decades, starting long before it came under criticism as a result of the recent revelations about the Bush administration's warrantless wiretapping. And now this PBS documentary asks whether the NSA could have prevented 9/11 if it had been more willing to share its data with other agencies. The author of this book, The Shadow Factory, James Banford, looked into the performance of the NSA in his book that came out last year and found that it had been closely monitoring the 9/11 hijackers as they moved freely around the United States and communicated with Osama bin Laden's operations center in Yemen. The NSA had even tapped bin Laden's satellite phone starting in 1996. Bamford tells PBS in the special, quote, the NSA never alerted any other agency that the terrorists were in the United States and moving across the country toward Washington, end quote. The PBS special also found that, quote, the 9/11 Commission never looked closely into the National Security Agency's role in the broad intelligence breakdown behind the World Trade Center and Pentagon attacks. If they had, they would have understood the full extent to which the agency had major pieces of the puzzle, but never put them together or disclosed their entire body of knowledge to the CIA and the FBI, end quote. So John Yoo can kiss my ass. He really can. John Yoo, who makes a statement that the only way to prevent torture is to the only way to prevent these sorts of attacks in the future is to torture. No, the way to prevent it, Mr. Yoo, is to have government spy agencies under the control of the commander-in-chief who do their job and then report what they find. In a review, back to Muriel's article here, in a review of Bamford's book, former Senator and 9/11 Commission member Bob Kerry wrote, quote, as the 9/11 Commission later established, U.S. intelligence officials knew that al-Qaeda had held a planning meeting in Malaysia, found out the names of two recruits who had been present, and suspected that one and maybe both of them had flown to Los Angeles. Bamford reveals in his book that the NSA had been eavesdropping for months on their calls to Yemen, yet the agency never made the effort to trace where the calls originated. At any time, had the FBI been notified, they could have found one of these guys in a matter of seconds. End quote. And former CIA analyst Michael Scherer told PBS, quote, none of this information that we're speaking about this evening is in the 9/11 Commission report. They simply ignored all of it, end quote. Not only was then-Director Michael Hayden never held accountable for the NSA's alleged failure, but he went on to oversee the Bush administration's expansion of domestic surveillance, and in 2006 he was appointed director of the CIA. Of course, he's just like Michael Brown. Hey, Brownie, hell of a job there, huh? When asked whether the NSA's warrantless eavesdropping violated FISA law, General Hayden insisted, quote, I have an order whose lawfulness has been attested to by the Attorney General. An order whose lawfulness has been attested to by NSA lawyers who do this for a living. No, we're not violating the law. I'm asserting that NSA is doing its job, end quote. The power to eavesdrop on us ordinary Americans by the NSA has increased dramatically since 2001, of course, and the government's secret watch list now includes over 500,000 names. The PBS special will raise serious questions about whether important clues are still being missed simply as a result of the sheer volume of data being collected. The Spy Factory will be shown over most PBS stations February 3rd, 2009 at 8 p.m. That's one to record.
I would just say take that to all the Republicans out there who want to say that Bush was a great president because he protected us for 7 years, you know, when he had obvious access to data that could have protected us, as you pointed out last week, for 8.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark in Prairie-du-Sac. Where in the hell is that? Is that Minnesota? I guess it'd be Minnesota, wouldn't it? Mark writes, Mike, since you thinks torture opines, what? Since you thinks torture is so great at getting information, let's run a little test. Take him, Addington, Rummy, and the rest of the Bushies that have been talking smart 1 week, and I'm sorry, Mark. I can't read what you said. I'm not trying to get in your case, but your sentences don't make any sense. Let's see. Take him, Addington, Rummy, and the rest of the Bushies that have been talking smart 1 week and change into the new administration with traitor talk and find out just how effective torture is in finding out the depth and details of Bush's crimes. After all, Mr. Yoo said it was perfectly legal. Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't know if you've seen the animated puppet show version of Dante's Inferno, but some of Bush's sycophants get to enjoy all of hell's pleasantries. I haven't seen that. Thanks, Mark. Yeah, if it's, I get what you're saying. I'm sorry. I just, you got a phrase in there that's a little jumbled. I couldn't get it. Yeah, if torture works, then it works. It works for everybody, right? Let's torture Karl Rove. I'm all for that. See, I'm not against torture if it's Republicans who are being tortured. In fact, I'm kind of in favor of that. I really am. Because Republicans don't deserve any kind of legal protection at all. The Republican Party needs to be murdered. It needs to be assassinated completely and totally. And once the party itself is dead, then these Republican thugs who will have no place to go, and they will just dissolve into a pile of fairy dust someplace, just and fall into a ditch. That's what I'm hoping for anyway, right? Aren't you? All right, phone calls. 800-989-1480 is the number if you want to chat. Jesus, not a call on the board. I guess these right-wingers are right. We have no audience. We have no listeners. And that's because in the marketplace of ideas, liberal talk sucks.
Locked in the room in the corner you see. A voice is waiting for me.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
It's about 10 before the hour. I was just kidding about the phone calls. Let's go to your calls here. Who we got? Paul is calling from Minnesota. Paul is listening on Sirius. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. I just want to call in with a comment. I was over listening to Steve, and as I was telling the other gentleman, earlier today on the Tom Hartman Show, the exact same guy called in, the exact same story. I totally think the guy is a plant. He must be addicted to Rush Limbaugh, and he's just trying to get something going.
That could be, I guess. That could be because I don't know. There is no way, if that story was out there, there's no way it would have been anywhere except in one of these hellhole right-wing websites or someplace like that.
That's exactly what I thought. I just want to let you know that I heard, it's basically word for word the same thing, and it just didn't make any sense to me at all. So.
All right. Well, thanks, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. Have a good night.
All right, you too. Appreciate you checking in. Matt is calling from Madison, Wisconsin, listening on 92.1 The Mic. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mike, this is your crazy listener from Wisconsin.
I've got several up there.
Well, anyways, about the newspapers, it's not just the San Francisco Chronicle. Right here in Madison, there was this article about, this so-called human rights group that was critical of Sean Penn for visiting Cuba. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, it was a real short piece, it wasn't a main news thing. And then it said that at the end it said that political prisoners in Cuba and Venezuela, and I'm like, is the news media in this country capable of anything? Hugo Chavez was democratically elected, and Bush has been trying to overthrow him since the minute Bush got in office. I mean, how hard is it for the media to do just a little fact-checking?
Well, they don't, and this is one of the reasons that newspapers, including some good ones, are dying. I think people who support newspapers, which has always been liberals, conservatives have never, ever, ever supported newspapers because it requires reading.
Right.
And conservatives don't want that. They want someone to tell them. Conservatives, Republicans are incapable of critical thought. And when you read a newspaper, you have to involve yourself in processing information, which requires critical thought. So newspapers are cutting their own throats, and they have been since just about, it's been a slow death, but going back to the age of Reagan, when it was clear to everyone around the world, especially people like Greg Ballas, for example, that Robert Perry, that's who I met, Robert Perry, who at the time I think worked for Newsweek, used to write for the New York Times, that the Reagan administration and then the Bush administration, the first one, were committing war crimes and mass slaughter in Central America. And that there were people like General John Singlaub and Colonel Oliver North who were defecating all over the Constitution of the United States. And the newspapers knew it. And they they would not write about it.
Yeah, I've read Noam Chomsky. I've read Noam Chomsky and others, and right. I know what you're talking about. And for once earlier today, I heard Ed Schultz, and man, for once, he seemed even more hardcore than you. There was this one idiot right-wing listener who called in, and he just cut this guy off. This right-wing idiot was attacking the recovery package, and Ed Schultz just was going through it, and this right-winger just got on his nerves, and Ed Schultz just finally hung up and said, enough, we need infrastructure, we need schools. And I mean, it's like these right-wingers, it's like they're a bunch of robots. They're like the actors in the Truman Show. All they can do is just read a script. That is it. Nice right. talking to you again, Mike.
All right, take care. Take care. I appreciate you checking in, Matt. Yeah, it is. There is no argument that without Limbaugh and now Hannity and, of course, Drudge and Free Republic and some of these neo-Nazi organizations and spokespersons, were it not for them, the right wing, the Republicans in this country would not know what to say or how to say it. Matt's absolutely right. I mean, all Hannity does is follow the Republican Party talking points. That's all he's ever done in his entire career, is follow the talking points. If you are a regular Hannity listener, and because you love him and you think he's you know, the baby Jesus, if you're honest, which I know you're not because you listen to Hannity, but if you're honest, you'd have to admit that you've never heard ever in his entire career any original thought ever come out of his mouth. He is a parrot. And he doesn't necessarily even parrot Rush. That would require his listening to Rush. And he can't do that. So he reads whatever the talking points are that come from the Republican Party. The extreme right, well, I repeat myself, the Republican Party is extreme right wing. As far as newspapers are concerned, it's a shame to know that they are dying. There was an interesting piece yesterday, I think it was yesterday, in New York Times, op-ed piece, about supporting newspapers the same way the private universities are supported, and that is with endowments. Because newspapers, remember, a free press is the only enterprise that is sanctioned by the Constitution in the First Amendment. It's in the First Amendment. The only profession sanctioned by or acknowledged by the U.S. Constitution, because it's so critical. Who was it? Was it Madison that said, or Jefferson? One of the framers said, if I had to live in a country with a good government and no press, or a good press and no government, I would take the latter. I'm garbling it up. Somebody will send it to me. But the point was, without a free press that really goes after the truth, this experiment is over. And newspapers are dying. They have killed themselves. They've committed suicide. So God only knows what sort of information sharing we're going to have here very quickly. Stay with us. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. Excuse me, it's about 7 past the hour. Maya Shenwar, writing at Truth Out, talks about a report. The veterans from the VA patients from Afghanistan and Iraq has now exceeded 400,000. 400,000. They're, according to Veterans for Common Sense, or I should say, according to data obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request by Veterans for Common Sense, Iraq and Afghanistan battlefield injuries and deaths number 81,361. Veteran patients, including those who didn't seek care until they return home, has now shot up to 400,304. And for the thousands of soldiers flooding the VA, mental illness tops the list of ailments. Do you hear that? See, we don't care. Nobody in this country cares unless they have a family member who's in the military. Because that's the way Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld structured it. They got to have their wars and their murder and mayhem and their profits while the rest of us were distracted and told to go shopping. Well, we went shopping and look where we are now, you see? Mental illness tops the list of ailments for the thousands of soldiers flooding the VA. According to the report, 45% of Veterans Administration patients have already been diagnosed with mental health conditions, including a startling 105,000 diagnosed with PTSD. These data do not include the incalculable number of mentally ill veterans who have not received a diagnosis or haven't sought treatment at the VA. Jesus Christ. They have destroyed so many Americans, so many young men, and not a few young women who felt that it was their duty to defend the United States after the Bush crime family allowed an attack on our soil. And these poor enlistees who have since come back, their brains shattered, looking for help. And these rotten sons of bitches, these Republican vermin, have turned the other way. My God. 400,304. Of VA patients have already been diagnosed with mental health conditions, including a startling 105,000 diagnosed with PTSD. The Veteran Administration's bureaucracy deters some veterans from filing a claim at all. The process is arduous and sometimes convoluted, and since a positive result is never guaranteed, veterans sometimes abandon their attempts. Man, this is going to have a profoundly negative effect on this country. And given the way the Bush crime family shattered, just absolutely destroyed the economy through their mismanagement, their ending of regulatory restrictions, more and more young people now are joining the military as an employer of last resort. To go into one of these wars and have their brains scrambled like so many breakfast eggs, and who's going to help them when they come back? Why does any parent, unless they hate their children, allow a son or a daughter to join Bush's military? And it's going to be Bush's military for the foreseeable future, until and if Barack Obama or whoever succeeds him purges this military of the criminals who have been put in positions of power by the Bush crime family. How can any parent in the United States allow a son or daughter to go into this meat grinder knowing that A, the two wars are illegal, B, their son or daughter is going to be absolutely just brain damaged, either physically or mentally, and C, when they get out, the government of the United States, in the face of the VA, will do nothing. Do you know how big the waiting list is for people from all wars who are seeking assistance? The waiting list, 800,000 veterans. 800,000. What parent, honest to God, this is not a rhetorical question. What parent would allow or encourage their child to join this military now? What parent? The Bush crime family has utterly destroyed it. Oh, well. Why am I yelling? Back to your phone calls, okay? Who we have here next would be Ron, who is calling from Ambler, PA. Listening, how are you listening, Ron?
Oh, I'm on the listening to you on the internet.
Internet.
But actually on the phone, but that's okay.
Right, okay. Welcome to the program, Ron.
Yeah, I just wanted to join. You said your phone lines were all empty, so I thought I'd call. But I've been picking over the John Yoo article, and I don't know. I just wanted to add in my two cents. I don't understand how people his ilk can still show their faces in public. Let alone
how can they teach law at the University of California, Berkeley, where the free speech movement was born?
I don't know. It's weird as hell.
Where student activism started with Mario Savio back when 1963, and they have this Nazi teaching there. Whoa! Oh well.
This is a guy that advocating torturing people's children in front of them, crushing their testicles with, That to me is like so pathological, it just makes my stomach churn.
There is no question that so many people in the upper echelons of the Bush crime family were really mentally ill. I mean, a kind of mental illness that sets up the rest of the country and other countries for absolute chaos.
But, the funny thing is, when you were mentioning about the Spy Factory, I just started picking through Jane Mayer's book, The Dark Side.
Right.
And that's one of the contentions you were talking about, that Bamford was the same thing that Mayer says. They knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
They had so much information, but she makes the contention that there was, the inability for the agency, the FBI and CIA, to communicate with one another, or that one official said that it was because it was just like somebody dropped the ball, they didn't do their job. But it's pretty astounding, the whole thing.
As far as being able or not being able to communicate, and Ron, thanks. Call in again, okay? All right. As far as being able or not being able to communicate, that is just an outrageous distortion. If the CIA wants to communicate with the FBI and their computers don't interface, get out of your office, get in your car, drive from CIA headquarters into D.C. to the FBI headquarters, sit down and talk. That's all you have to do. We'll be right back.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Past the hour. Back to your phone calls. Who do we have here? Excuse me. Chris. Chris is calling from Los Angeles, listening on Sirius. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for the soapbox. I would, two things. I would make the argument that the corporate media is really a distraction. It's everything but the news. It keeps you from knowing everything but the news.
Kinda well, yeah, like, that's why. That's one of the
like
reasons.
Half in the Pravda work.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons newspapers are failing is yeah. because people are realizing that they're not getting the information necessary with some exceptions. It's not I'm painting with a broad brush here. It's not every newspaper and every reporter by any means or every editorial writer. But the vast majority of American newspapers are garbage and they're worse
right.
than garbage because they're putting out information we don't need as you're saying.
And they're willing to exist at a loss because that's how important the message is to the military-industrial complex or whoever's pulling the strings. The second thing I wanted to say, and I think you have the answer to this, I think it's important that we as Americans right now with the few cars that we have left as we start, squirreling them away and trying to spending them as wisely as possible, that we do spend them on American goods. And I know there's a website, and I can't think of the name of it, that tells you what goods are still made in America and where to buy American goods.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to. It's going to be a long road, but I need to just start gradually. And I think one of the things we can do really is just trying to keep American dollars here that we have.
So yeah, that and one of the reasons that so many dollars have flowed overseas is because of this greed, this buy, I gotta have it attitude
yeah.
that is as much of America's heritage since World War II as anything, if not the most identifiable aspect of American attitudes is greed. So,
right.
We can.
Well, it's just like the corporations. Everyone, The Republicans kept saying, free market. I mean, we haven't had a free market for quite a long time. And the idea is that I think what upsets a lot of Americans is that we know that these corporations took all the big tax cuts and then left the country anyway.
Sure.
They took advantage of everything that they paid the lobbyists to get done. They took advantage of it and then they just left us. It's like you say, this experiment is over. They're moving on to the next market, which is China. And I think I just read somewhere that Honda is going to start building, they're going to close the factories in America and they're going to move those jobs to China. The Honda Motor Car Company.
Right.
And I'm wondering how much America spent to bring Honda to America to build cars. I wonder if we even made anything off of it,
Yeah, yeah. So. I hear you loud and clear. Chris, thanks. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, the Buy America thing. I remember the last time there was a lot of talk about Buy America, Buy American, was during the Reagan recession, which was in terms of unemployment a lot worse than this one, in terms of interest rates a lot worse than this one. The Ponzi scheme of Wall Street had not been exposed. As a matter of fact, it probably wasn't as critical as it became here in the 90s and in the age of Bush. But I can remember bumper stickers that said, "Hungry? Try eating your Toyota," which didn't make a lot of sense, but you got the point. The idea of only buying American, I think, is so necessary right now. It is just, oh, my God. If we let these huge predatory big box stores like Walmart or even Target understand something. You know, we're sick of buying stuff made in foreign countries where the cost of labor is so low because of exploitation of people that American workers can't compete. We're sick of it, and we're not going to do it anymore. You know, a pair of shoes that is not made here is made somewhere else. They cost $75. Are we to believe that the same pair of shoes couldn't be made here and sold for $75 and a profit generated? That's what we're supposed to believe. It's obscene what has happened. And it has all been greed-driven. It's got to stop, he said ruefully. We'll be back after the break. What do we have? Two open lines, if you'd like to make a comment. 800-989-1480.
Your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
It's 25 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Who's next in the barrel here? Joanna was calling from Madison, listening on the mic. Hey, Joanna.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Okay, I was just calling because you were talking about the newspapers and how they're like a farce now. But, I mean, it's really been hard to read newspapers, period, because there's so much waste involved with reading them. So I'd always just go online to read them anyway.
What do you mean?
Because, you know, I've had, like, a subscription to, like, the journal that, you know, comes, and I would have, you know, all the days and Sunday, and I'd have a stack of papers.
Uh-huh.
I'd, like, go out of my way to, like, read through them, like, on the weekends when I would have time, and... like, the content is, there's, like, sometimes there is a good article in there, but having to go through all that is very, it's consuming to people, and nowadays it's so busy.
Well, that's kind of the point, I think, part of the point I was trying to make, that so much of the stuff that's published in newspapers is garbage, and I think the demise of newspapers as the primary source of education, not education, but information, had nothing to do with television or radio. It had to do when all of a sudden USA Today showed up, so-called national newspaper that really is nothing. I mean, it's a joke.
Cowboy.
And not only that, but the vendor boxes that USA Today was first put in back in, when was it, the late 70s, early 80s when it came out, they were designed to look like televisions.
Yeah.
The result was the so-called news in U.S. Today in their four sections, which is garbage. It was just it was nothing. It was something that maybe people would read as they're running through an airport, but it had nothing to do with real news. And it's a shame because newspapers are historically have been not just a source of information and entertainment, but a way of communicating. That's how people would communicate. Did you read such and such in the paper yesterday? Yeah, I read that. And then a discussion ensues. Now, if somebody wants to talk about something they saw on television or heard on the radio, the focus is not on the item, but on who said it. Did you hear what Chris Matthews said? Did you hear what the pig man said? Did you hear what Keith Olbermann said? Rather than what you get from a newspaper.
Yes.
Did you read the article about blank, blank, blank? So it's such a shame. It really is.
It is. Well, and the thing is, if there is a good article that you hear about, you can usually just bring it up online or something if someone recommends an article. So, like, no one really has to buy papers anymore. And it's sad because my focus in life was on writing, and, you know, I just don't see any future as far as that goes.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Joanna. Thanks thanks for checking in. That's how I got started in media, was writing for a weekly newspaper. And, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears that went into just writing a paragraph. I have to say that there were many times when I spent more effort to compose a paragraph than I, once I got into radio, that I spent composing a three-hour program. The thing about radio and television, of course, in the age of YouTube now it's different, but it used to be radio and television was so ephemeral. You said it, it's gone. There's no permanent record. And if you wrote something, it was there forever. Of course, that's changed now with the web. Carrie is calling from Phoenix, listening on 1190. Carrie, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I was going to say, you know that the governor from New York, you were talking a little while ago about the governor from Illinois that got impeached.
Yeah.
Well, the governor from New York got, you know, a lot of trouble too, and they're both got the same sort of trouble because they were talking about the bankers, and the bankers are so damn powerful, they can make things happen. Like,
well, I don't disagree with you on where it concerned Elliot Spitzer in New York, but Blagojevich,
he was after the bankers too.
I would disagree with that.
And he just said something on the phone. They had him all wiretapped, and he said something that, you know, now the conviction over one thing he said.
Well, then what you're saying is all 59 members of the Illinois Senate are on the take from bankers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Our
United States politician system is really screwed up.
Well, I don't disagree with that, Carrie, but the Blagojevich story is entirely different from Spitzer, so I'm going to disagree with your premise. Ken is calling from San Pedro, California, listening on the internet. Hey, Ken.
Oh, hi, Mike. What an honor to be able to speak with you.
My pleasure.
I'm a founding member, and I just, you know.
Oh, bless you.
It's all I can do. I'm busy with work to try and keep you on the air and just, you know, some truth finally on the air, you know. But anyway, I just share your exasperation with the system in general, and specifically just the dragging their feet as far as getting, you know, some of these Bush crime family investigations going. And I'm just really disheartened when I think about the fact that the Democrats, you know, that are obstructionists like Pelosi and people that, you know, seem to have known about these tortures, and, you know, they were given viewings of what these proceedings might be.
Yeah,
and,
apparently,
you know,
so. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just they're gonna put a monkey wrench in whatever pursuit of these investigations, it seems, is gonna ensue, unless there's a special prosecutor or something. I don't know. You know, I just share your frustration with some of that stuff.
Well, I understand, Ken, and I certainly appreciate what you're saying. Thanks for checking in. You know, regarding what you just said, Ken, I was thinking the other day. I'm beginning to wonder. if our country is still strong enough to handle commissions of inquiry or investigations or a special prosecutor, whatever you want to call it, where it concerns the crimes that have been committed in the past 8 years, the incredibly severe crimes that have been committed by the government and the fraud that has been committed by the financial community. I mean, this rot is all the way down to the bone. This is not Nixon and Watergate. That was chump change. That was a circus act. Haldeman, Ehrlichman, Nixon, they were clowns. They were clowns compared to this cadre of absolute professional destroyers that have run the country illegally for the past 8 years. And I just wonder, I answer my own question, no. I don't think that we could handle it. And if I believe that, then I've got to stop advocating for investigations and commissions and, you know, beating my head on the wall about, you know, when's the rule of law going to return. The rule of law, Truth Seeker, is not going to return. Very good chance that it will not return. That we are going to, it's kind of like an evolutionary thing here, where it concerns the way we govern ourselves. We are going to move forward, in a sense, as time moves forward, only in that, in a sense of time moving forward, not in a sense of moving democracy or freedom or legal activities or morality or ethical behavior forward. No. Just moving forward in time. But I really have begun to start to question this, whether or not we as a society can withstand what would really be necessary to return us to even a semblance of rule of law. I think about how the moral midgets led by what's his name from Illinois, Henry Hyde, the way they it was like out of some kind of a Todd Browning movie, the way they handled delivering their impeachment notification to the Senate where it concerned Bill Clinton, and that constant chanting of rule of law, one of us, rule of law, one of us, you know, Jesus Christ, that was scary stuff, right? And I think about how that was so hammered on because Bill Clinton lied about what he and his girlfriend were doing. And then I take a look at where we are now. I don't think we can handle it. I really don't. I think it's time to just not go there. You will understand. Listen. You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. Time before the hour, thanks to Ian Huff, Ben Burt, Sharon Gordy, Bob Alexander, Bridget Wolf, Bruce Enberg, and Catherine Bay for their assistance in the program tonight, whether it was physical or spiritual. I want to leave you with something here. This is from December 8th. In a stinging note of support for the laid-off workers that have taken up residency in Chicago's Republic Windows and Doors factory, the governor of Illinois has suspended business with Bank of America until it reissues credit to the shuttered company. Bank of America cut off credit to Republic Windows and Doors Company last week, and workers demanding severance pay began staging sit-ins, effectively taking control of the building. The governor's bold move comes immediately after President-elect Obama, himself a Chicago native, expressed sympathy for and agreement with the workers' plight and resulting actions. Obama said during a Sunday news conference, quote, "When it comes to the situation here in Chicago with the workers who are asking for their benefits and payments they have earned, I think they're absolutely right. What's happening to them is reflective of what's happening across the country, across the economy," end quote. Bank of America, Chicago's second largest bank, has received, this is December 8th, remember, over $15 billion in bailout funds from the federal government. During a Monday news conference, Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich insisted that the money was intended to be used for purposes such as this. In a prepared statement, Bank of America said, quote, "We are reaching out to the management and ownership of this company to see what they can do to help us resolve this issue. As a creditor of the company, we continue to honor all of our agreements with the company and have provided the maximum amount of funding we can under the terms of our agreement," end quote. Blagojevich, in a statement issued by his office, said, quote, "Families are already struggling to keep afloat. I hope that the economy will be motivated to exhaust all resources to stay open, or the company will be motivated to exhaust all resources to stay open. We should be putting people to work during this difficult time, not sending them to the unemployment line." And then there's a little more. But Governor Blagojevich suspended state business with Bank of America. And the governor said he will have the state's agencies stop doing business with Bank of America until the workers are paid. And then the governor is in a mess up to his ears. What do you think? We started the program tonight with the idea, at least my idea, maybe yours, that it just seemed a little bit too convenient to, I've never seen, of course, this is the first time I've ever seen a government or a governor removed from office. I know, what was his name, Meacham was removed from office in Arizona, but this is the first time I've ever paid attention to one, and it went awfully goddamn fast, didn't it, huh? Blagojevich is Blagojevich. You know, he's who he is. Probably an arrogant type who, I don't know, maybe the bottom line is he broke all kinds of laws and deserves to be thrown out of office. But the timing on these things, why is the timing always seem to be so coincidental, huh? Same thing happened to Spitzer. That's what my last caller was talking about. Same thing, Elliot Spitzer. Should Elliot Spitzer have kept his fly zipped up? Of course he should have. Is he a creep for cheating on his family? Of course he is. But right about the time, shortly after he writes a hardcore op-ed piece with the New York Times about this filthy Wall Street, this filthy banking industry and financial services industry, boom, the hammer comes down. It's always just coincidence, right? None of this stuff ever is a cause and effect situation, is it? It's never linked, is it? It's always just pure serendipity for the bank or the financial services industry or Wall Street. It's just one of those things. Well, these governors are real criminals or they cheat on their families. They lie to their spouses, so they deserve to go down. Isn't the timing always just like, damn, what a coincidence. What an amazing coincidence. I don't know if Blagojevich is guilty of what he's accused or not. They're going to crucify him. They really are. They fired him from his job. And was there, somebody said in finding him guilty, a ruling was also made that he can never run for office again in Illinois. That's impossible. You can't do that to somebody. You can't do that. So I don't know if that part of the story is true or not. If an attempt was made to bar this guy, the guy is not a convicted anything. He hasn't been convicted of jaywalking. You can't tell a citizen of the state you can't run for office. So that part of the story has got to be absolute bat squeeze. It's not true. But they're going to destroy him. I think about the former governor of Alabama. What happened to him? Makes you wonder. If you are basically paranoid like I am anyway. I just can't believe sometimes the timing. Well, Mike, you know, these are bad people. These are bad people. So anything that you see as timing, Malloy, is just coincidence. That's all it is, coincidence. Oh, and don't even think about Don Siegelman. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Take care. Thanks for hanging out. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.